Welcome to Sexology, a podcast that untangles the science of sex and pleasure. And now, with this week's episode, your host, clinical psychologist, Dr. Nazanin Moali.
Hello there. You are listening to another episode of the Sexology podcast. This is the first episode that we're releasing in our Tantra series. Many of you guys requested us to do some content, produce some episodes around tantric sex. And we interviewed a few of our colleagues that are expert in this topic. And there will be 3 episodes dedicated to Tantra. If you are interested about tantric living, we had 4 amazing episodes that we have had released throughout the years. This mini-series specifically focuses on intimacy and tantric practices. The first one, which is an interview with Pauline Ryland, it's about your individual relationship with Tantra, how you can orient yourself to these practices when it comes to use it as a tool around sexual experiences. And in future episodes, we're going to talk about how you can specifically implement it with your partner during sex. Our guest, as I mentioned, is Pauline Ryland, aka Intimacy Whisperer. Pauline has been working as an intimacy, sex, and libido coach and educator for over 13 years. She's certified as a somatic sexological body worker, tantra teacher and facilitator, and a master trainer and practitioner of neurolinguistic programming and Havenly Technique trauma specialist. Pauline recently wrote a book titled Empowered Conscious Sexuality. She's based in Australia, and you can find all of her information and full bio in the show notes. Also, if your goal for this new year is to connect with your partner with ease, I created this free course that's around helping you to learn to manage your stress around sex. You can use it alone or you can do it with your partner. It's completely free and it's my gift to you. All you need to do is head to our show notes and sign up for it. The reason I created it is that for many of my clients, anxiety and frustration around transitioning from day-to-day life to their sex life is getting in the way of them showing up as their best version during sex. Or if you have performance anxiety, this can be a tool for you. All right, without further ado, here's my conversation with Pauline Ryland. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Sexology Podcast. I am so excited to welcome Pauline Ryland to our show. Pauline, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
I am very excited about this conversation. I know we had talked about Tantra in the past. We understand that Tantra is a way of life and there's just so many different ways of practicing it. And one way that can people continue to channel this energy in the bedroom is through using the connection that they have with a partner. So tell us, how can practicing Tantra can strengthen our connection with our partner?
Oh, there's so many different ways that it can strengthen it. I think, you know, we can't get past the standard eye gazing with your partner. That really creates a very deep connection and a very deep intimacy. It's almost like creates a cocoon or a bubble around you. So you're just become very present with yourself and then you can become present with each other. I'll explain what that is, because some people might not know what the eye gazing is. So in Tantra, when you use your left eye to look into your partner's left eye, it's known as looking into the windows of the soul. So it's already creating that connection. So if you can sit there in silence and stillness and do that for 5 to 10 minutes every day, I've saved relationships doing that practice. So it's pretty powerful. What happens initially quite often is people get the giggles and because it feels weird sitting there looking at their partner left eye and left eye, but that I just say that that's just nervous energy. They can't get past the giggling. Close your hand, you know, put a hand on your belly, take some deep breaths to the center and ground yourself again, then open your eyes and have another go. Eventually you'll get there, but sometimes just those giggles get in the way because it can feel a bit unusual and weird to some people. But that's an amazing practice to do.
I love the practice of eye gazing. It's very intimate. And I had this client that I've been working with her. I have still work with her that we were talking about how she had some kind of interpersonal grief and trauma. And she was telling me one thing that she's reintroducing is making the eye gazing or eye contact with people. And she was talking about how vulnerable that can be. And even for therapists, whenever I go to conferences for sex therapy, one of the homeworks or kind of activities is just to make the eye gazing. And it's very intimate. And my husband is in another field. I was like, oh my God, honey, that is so intimate, uncomfortable. That is something that is just very powerful. So I can see that what you're saying, that implementing that tool, even that tool can be very kind of like strengthening the relationship. Another tool that people often use in Tantra is breathing and breath techniques. So tell us about that. How can we use that strategy for deepening our connection? And I'm kind of curious, how do you introduce it?
Look, there's so many different breath practices that we can do with a partner. And I think, you know, the eye gazing can be the start point. And then you can do things like, you know, putting your hand on your partner's heart. And then so they've got their hand on your heart. Then you put your hand over the top of them. And so you're doing that with them and drop into the eye gazing. And then you can close your eyes and you can start doing sort of breath. So I always say, just focus on bringing the breath through your own heart down to your genitals. Imagine it going over to their genitals and up to their heart and then just coming back. So you're doing like this U-shaped seesaw as a start point. So just focusing on that. And then you can start moving that into a circular. So you just go both going in the same direction with your breath. And like anything, when you set an intention, that the energy will follow. So that's sort of a little bit of intention setting happens there. So that's one aspect that you can do in the breathing techniques. Then you can do things like sitting in yab-yum, which is the man sitting and the woman facing him, sitting in, on his lap and facing him. And then you can do breathing techniques like that, you know, working through the chakras. You can start adding pelvic floor squeezing in, that start pushing the energy through. So there's like a fire breath doing that. So there's lots of different practices that you can do in that way as well.
With breathing exercises, I think that can be very helpful even during kind of all sorts of sexual kind of encounters that people have, and that can kind of regulate our nervous system or help us to kind of build energy. With breathing exercise, one thing that I noticed at times with my client is they're talking about exactly what you talked about. It feels awkward, they're giggling, they don't stay with it. But I think it's a great way of pivoting from this kind of like everyday, daily life energy to this erotic, intimate connection you're building with people. And I know that can be a really good way of that kind of like setting intention that, okay, now we're kind of entering this erotic space. For people that are in kind of a roommate situation, they want to have more lover-to-lover connection, people in long-term relationship. Is there any practical steps that you have for them to awaken their own energy before entering the intimate moment using kind of tantric practices?
To do singly before they join together.
Yeah, like before, like I'm thinking about if Friday nights or date night, then what are we doing as far as kind of like stepping in that space as far as the mindset, as far as our body?
Okay. I'm a big believer in connection. So doing exercises and breath work to get you present, get you into your body and awakening your body. So you can just do like a breath practice where you just go through all parts of your body and just connect in with it. That brings you present. You can do things where you can awaken your body by sort of tapping on your body and then channeling that into like a slower, soft sort of touch, which when you've had that sort of kicking, it stimulates the nerve endings on the skin. And then when you come back in and stroke really softly, that contrast, and that's a great way to awaken up your body as well. So I think they're really good things to do.
And I think that's also important to awaken your mind and awaken your body if you want to kind of like have these intentional connections. For kind of building up, and now we're kind of thinking about doing this dance up seduction, are there any tantric inspired rituals that you invite your clients to think about?
My absolute favorite is the undressing ceremony.
I love that. Do tell.
I don't know. My secret. That sounds delicious to saying it, doesn't it? An undressing ceremony. So what you do is one person is going to stand there and be undressed, and so the other person would stand side on and put one hand on their heart chakra in the middle of the chest and one at the back of their heart. You would close your eyes and take three deep breaths together. And then the person that's getting undressed just stands there, eyes closed, and the person that's undressing them really just sort of like minces around their body and just sort of like floaty takes their clothes off them. So it can be like a little bit of sensual touch. You usually sort of say, stay away from the genitals. It's a tease. So you're teasing them out of their clothes in a seductive way, and you're moving around their body, and, you know, you can be stroking their head and their chest and things, but the idea is just to slowly take their clothes off them until they're standing there naked.
I love that. Well, that's very seductive and intentional and bring awareness. And I know for many people, they have so much discomfort around their body, right? Like we hear from our clients all the time, oh, I want the light being off, or they want to hide under the sheet, which I absolutely understand. But with this practice, there's an element of I'm being seen and you're seeing me. What can we do if in those moments shame show up, right? Like as we're kind of like doing this ritual and feeling kind of the self-critical voice shows up.
Well, I think when that self-critical voice comes up, we just have to come back to our breath, because it means we've gone from our body into our head. So coming back to breath, so you can put your hand on your belly, three fingers below your belly button, and just, you know, your eyes are already hopefully still closed because you're being undressed, and just take three big deep breaths into your belly. That's going to start to ground you and get you back into your body. So I think that's a really good thing to be able to do, and just recognize that you've got the monkey mind happening, but this is the moment, and to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've decided to do it. You've made the agreement to do it. So it's about coming back into your body, because as you know, in Tantra, we want to be in our bodies so that tantric energy and that tantric flow can sort of happen. So it's very important to be back in the body.
I like that how you're using breath as a tool, which is really helpful. So tell us about different types of breath that we can incorporate during an intimate experience. That is it deep breathing? Tell us about different strategies around using our breath as a tool.
Well, breath can manipulate the autonomic nervous system. So we've got the sympathetic and the parasympathetic part of the system. And so adding in sympathetic breath, so fast breath, and then adding in slow breath sort of manipulates the cells of what's going on inside. It's almost like you're trying to get excited and have an orgasm, and then you do this weird breath, you add this breath in, it's like your system's going, oh, what's going on? It's like it's a pattern interrupt. So that can sort of change the energy and the direction and the outcome of what's actually happening. And it's not like you're doing this crazy breath all the time. You just sort of throw a few breaths in and then just get back to it, and then maybe throw a different sort of breath in. So just working with fast and slow breath can start moving that sexual energy as well.
Mm-hmm. Having this kind of like intention of kind of bringing this intentionality with the breath and manipulating it as a tool and using it as an anchoring strategy. I can imagine it's tough for people to, if you haven't used the breath, implement it during sex. Are there exercises you recommend people to do outside the bedroom to get good with being able to use their breath as a tool?
Yeah, to do it on your own, always on your own. And, you know, play with breath when you're washing the dishes, you know. It doesn't have to be just connected for when you want it to get into the bedroom and actually have sex. But because breath can be difficult, and because people breathe so shallowly quite a lot, it can be quite difficult. You know, I watch clients when I'm taking their two practices and they go, take a deep breath into your belly. And I'm looking at them going, that's not a deep breath. Like, what's going on here? So then I'll give them breath practice techniques to just start elongating their breath and their exhalation and their inhalation. So things like that you could practice outside the bedroom so that you're more comfortable with it, and then bring it in and bring it into your self-pleasuring, you know, experiment with the breath when you're self-pleasuring to get you more comfortable with it, so that then you can add that in when you are having sex.
Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Nazanin Mooli, and I'm here to help break down taboos around intimacy and mental health. so you can live your best life both in and out of the bedroom. That's why I've teamed up with NoCD to bring you the tools and resources you need to recover from obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD. OCD is often misunderstood, something I've personally experienced and have seen many times in my work as a psychologist. OCD is so much more than stereotypes about liking things clean or organized. It's a serious and highly misunderstood condition with often two main symptoms, intrusive thoughts and compulsions. A lot of people don't know they have it, feel shame about their symptoms, and suffer in silence. But if you're struggling, there is hope. OCD is highly treatable with a specialized type of therapy called ERP, or exposure and response prevention. Let me share a secret with you. Not every therapist understands OCD or is qualified to treat it effectively, which can make it difficult to find the right help. With NoCD, you can do live virtual ERP therapy with licensed therapists who specialize in ERP and OCD. So they truly understand what you're going through, even the symptoms that can feel hard to talk about. NoCD make this life-changing treatment affordable, and they accept more than 60 insurance plans, enabling over 155 million Americans to access evidence-based treatment at NoCD covered by insurance. If you or someone you love is struggling with OCD, you're not alone. And with the right care, you can get better. To find out more about therapy with NoCD, go to nocd.com and book a free 15-minute call with their team. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free call. And I know many colleagues, they practice experiencing breath orgasms, right? Those are the kind of like practices people have. So you can use your breath as a way of like bringing excitement and regulating and down regulating and up regulating your nervous system. I tried like their practices they offer, it never worked for me. But I hear there are people out there that is a tool that they use.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, whether it's breath or just working with the energy and having energetic orgasms, it's sort of like they're very similar. So it doesn't have to be so focused on breath. But when you are using some breath, it can get the energy moving so you can have those energetic orgasms without actually, you know, it's like, look, no hand. And you can be sort of having those energetic orgasms. And that can usually start with breath, playing with the breath.
Mm-hmm. I know that you wear so many hats, and one of the hats you wear is libido whisper. So for our listeners that they have lower desire and they want to kind of awaken that part of themselves so they will be able to be willing to engage in this dance, what are some of the rituals you recommend for them?
Well, there's so many reasons why women have low libido, and then men, of course. And so it's really about, from my perspective as a libido coach, it's sort of looking at the whole picture. So, you know, is it because they're in perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause? Well, then that sort of can quite often go hand in hand with a low libido because you're losing estrogen, you're drying out. Sometimes there's internal pain. So we've got to fix all those other things before we start working on the libido. And so my primary way of looking at that is getting them connected to themselves and in their body. So looking at what's getting them in their heads and teaching them techniques to get into their body. And then working on the emotions that are hiding in the background that we haven't dealt with, because there's often things that are sitting there, you know, that impact. It's not just the physical, it's also the mindset. So I tackle the mindset as well, you know, the emotions that might be sitting there that are buried, and maybe it might be belief systems. Talk about not feeling comfortable at that, the body. So what the self-love, self-worth, self-value about, and doing belief changes around that, and then slowly introducing practices that very gently and subtly start moving the sexual energy before we start firing up that sexual energy. So that's sort of a standard sort of libido coaching, but it's really about like looking underneath everything to see what the actual underlying core issues are that are driving that. A lot of the times it can be just straightforward. They haven't had any traumas and they haven't had any sexual abuse or rape. But if they've had those sorts of things, we need to clear those things out as well, because that's going to be a switch off. There's so many things that, you know, as women, we can switch our libido off very easily because, you know, we want to keep our bodies safe. That's the way of keeping us safe is to switch the libido off. It's about looking at what all the keys that are, you know, creating that. So that's the sort of what way that I work with all of that.
You're absolutely right that looking at the, as we talk about it in our term of kind of like psychological or physiological breaks, they're very important. And sometimes it could be physiological or it could be a combination of things. At times, couples that are coming in because one partner has lower libido, when we discuss it, it's like they have so much resentment with the partner. Like, that's why they don't want to have sex. So I can imagine even sitting, doing the breathing exercises, the eye gazing can bring lots of anger and frustration. So part of the helping the person with libido issue is to help them to communicate and resolve those frustration outside the bedroom. Because majority of people, they know how to have sex, right? Like, I know sexual skills are important, but also it's just like the nuances of interpersonal dynamic is what can get in the way for people. I love that you talked about awakening the energy, sexual energy. What could that be like?
Well, it's just a lot of different activities that sort of get you connected and realigning, you know, the neurological pathways of the heart and the genitals, getting things connected that way. It's just like there's a myriad of different activities and things that I do that sort of just I slowly drip feed in so that I can start working with them. And when we start working that, then I can start to see what's holding them back. Like, where are they stuck? Are they doing the exercise? No. Well, why not? This is your outcome. This is what you want. Then what's stopping you from doing it? So then we have to get into what's going on in here to why they're stopping doing the exercise. So everything's always got variables. And I guess it's my way of coaching and intuiting what's going on for them to sort of get them through to actually what they want as their outcome. And sometimes, like everything in life, we put sabotages up. We sabotage ourselves with what we want. So it's about looking what their sabotage patterns are and sort of breaking them down as well.
What could be an example of the exercise?
Okay, so one could be putting hand on heart chakra and cupping your genital and closing your eyes and just imagine breathing in through your heart, sending your breath down to your genitals and exhaling out of the genitals and just keeping that cycle of breath going. That realigns the neurological pathways between the brain, the heart and genitals and get things a bit connected instead of things being like completely separate. That's a very key activity and it's a very nurturing activity as well. Very healing.
And I can imagine for people, a number of different things can come up because especially for vulva owners, there are a number of different experiences that they had with their body. And I can imagine as they're anchoring, doing these exercises and kind of paying attention to wisdom of their uni and vulva, it's like they can get lots of good information that they can process it. What are some of the suggestions that you, if for people that are listening, they want to kind of like bring one element of Tantra in their relationship? There's one thing that you want them to keep in mind. What would that be?
Eye gaze. Can't get you past the eye gaze. It's key. The eye gaze is key. You know, if you want that deeper connection with your partner, eye gazing is the one. You might be a bit young and I don't know. Well, we've had the movie Get Smart. You know, it's a spy movie. We grew up in Australia as a TV series with the goofy Get Smart guy. And, you know, they used to go into talk about spies and they'd have the code of silence come down and they couldn't talk until the code of silence hit the ground because the spies could hear. I equate eye gazing to going into the code of silence because it creates this cocoon around you and you're just present and you're connected and nothing else around you matters because you're there. And I think that is a really big thing. You know, I had a couple that I worked with years ago that, you know, they'd been together 20 years, they're having sex twice a year, so they're literally having birthday sex. They'd cook different dinners, they'd sit down and watch TV every night, they'd go to bed and she'd put a pillow behind her and one next to her as she read a book. That meant he couldn't even cuddle up to her. So I rearranged a few things with them and I made them sit at the dining room, at the kitchen table, and before dinner they had to sit there, keep your dinner warm, don't care how you do it, but sit there for 10 minutes and I go. And the next following week or 2 weeks later when I stalled one of them, they'd had sex. So I'm like, yeah, you know, we changed some things down, they've had sex and it wasn't the birthday, you know. And that eye gazing became instrumental in saving their marriage because they ended up sitting at that table after eye gazing eating their dinner, and they would sit at that table for hours and hours and hours just talking and reconnecting. So it was really beautiful to witness, and then sort of planning things for them to do together outside of the bedroom that they could do activities and join in and do, you know, go out and socialize and do different things and get them other outside passion. So that was pretty cool.
I love that, like kind of making changes like that, that people sometimes think they need to be something groundbreaking, but making intentional changes, they can change
people's... Yeah, well, look at what your habits are, 100%. What are your habits? You know, are you watching TV every night? Are you eating dinner in front of the TV? Have you stopped engaging? Are you on your phone all the time? And, you know, phone's away when you have dinner. Make sure you have that time where you've got no distractions, where you can actually engage and unpack your day and talk about, you know, even at the beginning of the wedding, saying, okay, honey, what have you got on for this week? You know, have you got a big week? What's your schedule like? Is there any way I can support you? And vice versa. Oh, I'm going to be in a meeting Wednesday night and Thursday night till really late. Okay, well, how about I prep dinner for you so you don't have to worry about dinner when you get home? Okay, that's great. So that thing of working together and supporting each other, it's a whole give and take, isn't it? So it's all those things that help lessen any resentment or anything like that as well. I think that's really important communication.
I agree with you. I think the ritual of reconnecting for couples in a long-term relationship or any couple is really important. We all are busy. By the time we get home, we just want to zone out. Like majority of people, they just want to zone out because they're just, their nervous system is overwhelmed. But if you have this intentional, like maybe greeting your partner, as there's so many research around that, connecting with them, or maybe another micro moment of, as you were talking about, really dropping in kind of like with maybe eye gazing, having this kind of like heart-to-heart conversation. How are you doing? How are we doing? So kind of help. So have this connections. It's really, really important. So Paulina, I bet many of our listeners are very curious to learn more about you and the services that you offer. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So, Pauline Ryland, Intimacy Whisperer, and I work with single people and couples around challenges that they're having around intimacy, sex, libido, and their relationship in general. I bring to my coaching NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which is mindset coaching, tantra-trained, certified tantra teacher, and a somatic sexological body worker. So everything we're doing, we're creating new somatic learnings in the body, and also a trauma specialist with a training called Havening, which actually comes from America, and that's been a phenomenal add-on to my practice. So I work with, you know, women loss of libido, women who aren't experiencing orgasm, especially clitoral orgasm. A lot of women complain that they don't have internal orgasms, and the stats of that are pretty low. But when you can start getting out of your head and into your body and start getting that sexual energy moving, that more of a possibility to have those internal orgasms. And I work with the trauma there. With men, I work with, you know, not maintaining erections, premature ejaculation, Peyronie's disease, which is when the penis bends. I do scar remediation work. So I work with women that have internal pain. I help them get rid of the internal pain and nerve damage to genitals from surgery, that sort of thing as well. So it's pretty broad. And I work via Zoom. I'm based in Queensland, Australia. Zoom's great. I've worked with a few people in New York and looking at working with a new client. They're going back to Japan shortly. So I said, oh, that'd be fun. We can do some Zooms from Japan. So we just have to work time zones, so it's not too hard.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in the show, sharing your expertise with us.
You're welcome.
And hopefully we can continue this conversation in future.
Yeah, sure. And if anybody wants to check me out, they can just go to paulineryland.com. I wrote a book last year, Empowered Conscious Sexuality, From Fruit to Pleasure. I've got a couple of little mini sort of recordings and things that people can download. So, and there's actually a breath practice that I've got up there as well, the 9-part series. And that's more about slowing our breath down and slowing our touch down to get into that really embodied erotic practices and pleasure.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to leave in the website in the show notes. And thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great fun.
I hope you guys found our conversation meaningful. What's interesting is that I've noticed this trend of people looking for more meaningful sexual connections with their partner. I know, like, last few years, especially before COVID, all the questions were around hookup sex, casual sex, but it seems like right now people are more interested in having this spiritual deep connections with their partners. So if you are interested in sex and spirituality, you can listen to this series with your partner, and make sure you're following us, because we will have two other episodes in which we go in depth into tantric practices and sex. And if you want to be able to manage your anxiety during sex, make sure you're signing up or for our free course, which is going to help you with building your toolkit around stress management. All right. Thank you so much for listening to our show. I'll see you next week right here.
Thanks for listening to Sexology Podcast. For more great content, visit www.sexologypodcast.com. Please be advised that information presented on this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health provider.